Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
We are back with another ITM short. I am Steve Perrault. That is Joey Capone. Joey, we were talking after the Red Sox W last night in Anaheim. They take the first two games of the series. They have won six games in a row. The team is buzzing. Two games
this
over
morning,
500.
Dude, this morning.
Like, I know. I mean, it's insane where the team's at. And we figured, you know what? It's time to just do a state of the Sox. Just a state of the current format of this team, the current standing of this team, the current vibes around this team. And in order to do that, Joey, we got to kick it back. We got to throw it back.
You gotta throw it back old school. How far are we throwing it back, Steve?
We
got
to throw it back old school. We're going back to the 80s. we have to.
1986.
So it was the 80s. Red Sox, and obviously a tough time for a lot of people, but we have to kick it back to that series sweep against the Chicago White Sox at Fenway Park. And I just really want to break down our true feelings because the team drops three games to the White Sox. They went into that series 10-16. They left 10-19. And we're looking at each other, Joey, like, what is going on? Like, what are we really doing here? That was the second worst start for a 162-game season in Red Sox history, a team that's been around since 1901. That was their second worst start ever. Bring me back to your feelings, Joey, when we went into an episode with the Red Sox at 10-19.
First of all, that's the number that has stuck with everybody. I mean, it's clear now why, because that was the turning point, but it needed to be the turning point. That is when people started hitting panic buttons. I think there was a lot of people throwing in the towel, and I wasn't there. I wasn't throwing in the towel by any means. Neither
Let's
of us were.
Let's be real, though. We also couldn't be. I mean, we just started the official
We couldn't
Red
quit
Sox
our jobs
podcast.
And be like, yeah, screw this. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we're actually, honestly, we're good. Sox.
We're out.
Stop the retweets. We're done. We're all set.
Well, I mean, thanks. Throwing in the hope towel is what I should have said.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, we weren't throwing in the hope towel, but there was certainly some major panic going on. But I also remember saying then that the bats were not going to stay the way they were, and they haven't. And I don't think that was a novel thing. I'm not saying I called it. Everybody called it. Everybody was saying that like, hey, Trevor Story's not going to hit 130 this year. You know, Kike's not going to go 0 for 162 games. Like, there's these guys are going to pick it up. And once that happens, things will turn around. And oddly enough, the pitching since then has leveled out from its really hot start, and the bats have picked up, but that has somehow equated to a, 19-8 record since that 10-19 start?
19-8 record since then. That is the best record in Major League Baseball over that span. And Joey, to your point of like, let's be real. We had to blindly assume the bats were going to get hot. We knew they would get hot to a certain degree. But would that mean they'd get hot just to keep losing these one-run games, to keep blowing saves? to keep losing in extra innings, to keep losing when they didn't have a lead after six. I think that was that's what I was really concerned about. I wasn't concerned that like Trevor Story was going to, you know, hit 190 for the season. Like you knew some of these guys, especially Story, Verdugo, Kike, were going to get going to a certain degree. But what I was most worried about was that that wouldn't be enough, that still wouldn't equate to wins. And luckily it has. Luckily, you know, we'll get into the rotation here, but the rotation has been incredible, especially recently. I mean, it's you take out a couple of starts. Obviously, Hill was tough against the Orioles. You had Eovaldi against the Astros. That was, I mean, if you're going to be bad, be like the worst ever. Like that was impressive by Eovaldi there, but he's been really good since. And it puts you in a position, Joey. I got to say, when we were about to do that show and they were 10 and 19, I think I put a tweet out there of like, you know, we started a Red Sox podcast at the worst possible time, because that's really what it felt like. Like the team is backing this. You know, we got the Dencheladas. It's everybody's been super supportive about it. We're getting the player guests down in Fort Myers. We're going on road trips. And it's like, for the worst team ever, is this going to be the worst season in team history? Because it kind of, I didn't think that was actually going to happen. But if someone said there was a chance of it, of course, that you couldn't have said that was a lie.
Well, I mean, there were so few examples of Red Sox teams starting slow and picking it up. Like, that's why the 96 thing is what it was, because it was the only example of a team that we found that started that poorly and then ended up being something.
And they didn't even make the playoffs. Like, at least our example made sense, because under the current format, they would have made the playoffs. So we had that going for us. But Joey, let's be honest. We needed that. We needed a thing to at least tell us, hey, it's okay. Because deep down, we knew, at least in the moment, it was not okay. It was totally not okay.
Even if that one thing is, hey, 26 years ago, they kind of did, you know, they did all right after starting bad. But there was just really no modern example of, hey, they'll turn it around. You know, they do that. It's the Red Sox throughout our lifetime, or, you know, the last couple decades, is they're either an incredible team that goes and wins the World Series, or it's 2012. There's just like, there's no in between. So it was looking like it was going to be another one of those years, another 2020, another 2012 of just, oh, hey, the year's just going to suck, so just deal with it. And I'm somebody who's so bad at hiding my emotions. I'm not somebody who's good at putting on a smile and just pretending everything's okay. So going through, you know, the meetings and the press stuff and seeing people and everyone giving the same line of like the, hey, let's just hope they, you know, turn things around. I'm so bad at like, haha, yeah, I hope they do. Because what I want to do is like rip my shirt in half and be like, I know, they should be better.
I know. Dude, let's be honest.
Those conversations are just a thing of the past.
There was a long stretch there, whether it was us at the park or like you said on Zooms, and it's just the same old same where it's like, hey, bat's going to get hot at some point. They're going to turn it around at some point. And you just couldn't say it anymore. And luckily, since then, I want to thank the Sox for making the last month of existence a lot more enjoyable. Keep this energy rolling. Like we needed this so badly. The fans needed it so badly. Everybody. And I remember we talked with Cotillo. We were about to record one of our episodes. I'm like, isn't it better for you that even as a goofy Dumbo writer, isn't it even better
That's
for
what you? Call
you?
Yeah. Right to his face.
And I was like, you goofy Dumbo. I was like, isn't it better for you if the team's buzzing? Like, isn't that more views on those articles for wherever you write for? Like I think he said no, because, well, granted, that's the thing. It's one way or the other, right? You either want, like, chaos and worst team ever, or they're going to maybe win the World Series. I think the middle ground is probably the worst place to be. But
I mean,
the Sox are finally climbing back to the higher ground.
That's from, like, the writing perspective. Because you can get clicks on who's going to get traded now because they're tanking and who
are they
going to...
Obviously, the bogey endeavor stuff. I mean, that, you know...
Sure,
that
that's going to get play no matter what. But, I mean, like, when you're at the bottom, I guess, you know, it's easy to kind of sell those ideas that, hey, who can the Sox realistically get for a bogey deal? Like, that stuff plays, I guess. There's no world in which, like, a podcast is going to be, like... better off because the team stinks. And it's also like, I think we're in a unique spot, dude, because we're fans who do this.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah,
we're fans of the team. It's not. I don't know. I personally, anyway, don't think from a perspective of like, of you know, PR or whatever. You know, I mean, like,
I'm a journalist. I don't know about you. You might be a fan, but yeah. Like, I'm like a credentialed journalist. So
I know everybody thinks of you that way. They're like, oh, there goes Uptight Steve.
Yeah. No. After these games, like, I write these recaps that people definitely read, and I'm a journalist, Joey.
They're called rundowns.
The rundowns, yeah, those are lengthy, real pieces of work there. So, I hear you, right? It's something where we can't hide it, right? We can't hide our care for this club, how much it's mattered over the course of our existence, and now we're more invested than ever. And I think that's what it was. You're 10-19, the team's back in our show. We're more invested than ever, and they're just terrible. And for them to turn around, I had a moment during last night's game where I really thought they were going to win, and they did. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest difference from now versus a month ago. Is it's a close game. It's the sixth or seventh inning. Sox are trailing, and I actually think they're going to win. And sure enough, it can't be overlooked how clutch Tanner Houck was in that game on Tuesday, how clutch your boy Stromboli was coming in to shut the door. Red Sox, the Angels had a runner on second base with no outs in the ninth and 10th inning. Neither guy scored. Like, that is very impressive. And that's after you just get the guy in from second yourself in extras. It's not like you were putting up big runs or anything late in the game. Mm-hmm. So this is a new version of this team, and we kind of had blind faith a little bit. And it's nice that that's rewarded, even though some of that is just wishful thinking. But for those of you that weren't, you know, whining your ass off when the team was playing poorly, and don't get me wrong, like, of course you can say, what is this, how are they playing this bad, yada yada yada, be upset when they're 10-19, we were, but to give up on a season that's 162 games long in the first week of May is lunacy.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Isn't it nuts that the season's a third of the way over already? More so
not
now,
really, just because
doesn't it feel that way
like
to you?
The start felt like an eternity. It felt like every night it's like, oh my god, they lost again in a brutal fashion. Oh my god,
I felt the exact opposite way. I felt like it was flying by. Like, I just like woke up one day and it was 10-19. I was like, when did spring training end? How did this happen?
Well, when we were coming from Fort
Myers, games themselves felt long, but
like you and I were still, I feel like, in spring training mode, like coming off of that, because we were still like putting interviews out from spring training as the season was going on.
Yeah.
So I think that gave it a little bit of a different feel. But Joey, one thing I want to, No, I got it. One thing I want to jump into real quickly was, it's basically like the season to this point has been broken up as, like, you know, before that White Sox sweep at Fenway and after. Mm-hmm. That's basically the two chunks of the year. And since then, I want to just look at some of the starter numbers since that sweep by the Chicago White Sox at Fenway Park. We will start with Michael Wacha, who in that span has had four starts. He has a 2.66 ERA, 198 batting average against, BABIP 214. Michael Wacha has been clutch. You take out that one game against the White Sox in Chicago, where they end up winning 16-7. Got football scores in that series. And it's a sub two. Obviously, on the year, he's got a 1.99. Was on the IL for a little bit. But Michael Wacha has been way better than anybody could have expected.
Absolutely.
I mean, this
stupid.
Is ridiculous. That I mean, a complete game shutout from Michael Wacha in the year 2022. What are we talking about, Joey?
Against Trout and Ohtani.
I know. That was before Trout died. Bonkers. That's right. So that's been ridiculous. Just to keep it rolling, though, Nathan Eovaldi, since that White Sox series, a 3.94 ERA. He is 2-1 in that span, 2.48 batting average against. Nick Pivetta has a 1.32 ERA in his last six starts. That is since that White Sox series, 1.53 batting average against. He is 5-0 in that span. And here's the thing, though, Joey, it hasn't been all of them. They haven't all been great. It's Rich Hill since that series, 5.87 ERA, 2-2 record, 2.69 batting average against, 8.33 OPS against. And then, of course, Garrett Whitlock, 5.33 ERA. He's 1-0. He's got a six starts, last six starts. Yeah. He is 1-0. A lot of that being because he doesn't go deep enough to get the win.
If this was 1980, his stats would look great.
Yes, they would. Batting average against 3.03, OPS against 8.25 in his last six starts. So
here's...
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Here's my thoughts on that, dude. First of all, the rotation is different than when the year started, right? By one piece.
Yeah.
Houck for Whitlock, right? One for one. But when this year started, I mean, the talk was all about pitching, right? It's the offense looks good. It looks like it should be a you know, top 5-10 offense. But how is the pitching going to hold up, you know, the rotation and the bullpen? But the rotation itself, just a little heat check here, right? Just a heat check down the line. Eovaldi, boom. Things are looking great. Pivetta, better than ever. Wacha, better than ever. You got the 42-year-old and the guy who just became a starter who are struggling.
Yeah.
Right? That, to me, is not sound the alarm stuff. That's somewhat to be expected stuff. Not that you expected Whitlock to come out of the pen and now have a near 6 ERA. That's obviously not what you expected. But if you're willing to give him a little bit of a longer leash and have a little bit of understanding there, you can look at both of those things as understandable, right?
Yeah.
Rich, I think, was always going to be the one, right? He had some starts that were unbelievable. He had his third, fourth, and fifth starts this year were 4-4 and 5 inning shutouts respectively, right? So started the year relatively hot. To have an expectation that a 42-year-old dude is going to do that all year is so unrealistic. I don't think anybody had that, right? So realistically right now, I hate to do this because this is like something that I said I didn't want to do, but now seems like a legit time to be doing this, Steve. Stop me if you feel otherwise.
Yeah, what do you got?
There's a little bit of a countdown now where Sale... Presuming he goes back into the rotation and is not a bullpen guy. I know some guys are saying Chris Sale is a closer. I do not agree with that whatsoever.
It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
No.
You're not paying a guy that much to be in the bullpen.
But I think now is a time where I think it's okay to start looking at the countdown of, okay, you have about a month, maybe 5 weeks until his projected return date. Can Hill get you there? You know, that's, you know, how many more starts? 6 starts? 7 starts?
Yeah. I mean, what can he get you there until he dies? I mean, what's the barometer here?
until he's deemed more of a liability than anything else. If he's starting every game like that Orioles series, you can't keep throwing him out there.
Yeah, of course. You would probably have Houck at that point. Yeah.
Right. So that perfect lead in. Tanner Houck. Do you want to look at some Houck numbers here since he went to the bullpen?
Real quick.
Yep.
This is a short, Joey.
That is true. Real quick here. Tanner Houck, since going into the bullpen, has pitched 17 innings with 1 earned run. That's a 0.53 ERA, batting average against of 1.86. So, granted, those are all really short, or not necessarily even short appearances. 3 innings, 4 innings, 3 innings, 2-2, 1-2. Is he a guy that you trust enough to get back out there? I say yeah. The only thing kind of standing in the way of that is a trip to Toronto at the end of June that he's obviously not going to be on. But beyond that, I think that it might be well time to start thinking about how getting back in that rotation. What are your thoughts?
No, I would agree. I think overall, what I'm most comfortable about, Joey, is that we don't have to worry about the rotation right now. Like that's something that, yes, obviously Hill's had a couple of bad starts. Whitlock's been up and down. We'll have a way longer Whitlock segment in our series recap episode. But I'm going into each night not worried about who's on the mound. And I feel like if you just look at this rotation on paper, you think outside of Eovaldi and maybe Pivetta, you should probably have to be concerned like every single night of who's starting the games. And that hasn't really been the case. One thing I want to add real quick, is it a coincidence that Robles and Barnes are on the IL and these games aren't being blown late? I don't know. Anyone listening,
you be the
determiner of that. One thing I want to say real quick before we wrap up here, just want to look at the Trevor Story numbers again since that White Sox sweep at Fenway Park. He's hitting 263 in that span with a 960 OPS, nine homers, 31 RBIs. That's in 99 at-bats. So,
wow.
Story, obviously a guy that needed to get going. He has gotten going. Is he a little trick-or-treat at times? Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have, you know, the 2-for-3, 2-for-4 game in Oakland, couple RBIs, roping a double off the wall, and then you're also going to have some strikeouts. He strikes out. That's what happens with Trevor Story. Strikes out, he hits bombs.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any cheapies. When he hits bombs, they're absolutely crushed. So, would like to get some home runs back on the board for Story. I know he had that ridiculous 7-game stretch and trying to get that back for these remaining games in Anaheim and then in Seattle as well before they come back to Fenway Park. These West Coast trips, it feels like they're playing in a different universe. It really, I never complain about late start times. I always love them. No, I know they're tough. I've always been a fan of the late night Sox Twitter. It's always enjoyable and a little weird. It's nice.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, you know, Story gets some power back, gets a little bit of that vibe from that weak stretch. Verdugo's been looking great. You know, obviously the big three. We're not even talking about Devers, Bogey, and JD because they've been so dominant. I mean, it's they're probably all going to the All-Star game. All-Star voting just started today. Just put them all in there. I mean, that should be the easiest thing ever unless they just fall off the face of the earth this month. So Sox being in postseason position right now, after the start they had, is truly remarkable. We love to see it. It's great for the show. It's great for your sanity, you listening at home, in the car, on the couch, wherever you're listening. And that's kind of our state of the Sox. It's a complete turnaround from a month ago. It's only been 1 month, Joey, but this team has completely turned things around and is in postseason position. You'll love to see it.
Not just postseason position, man. 3.5 games behind the Rays, 4.5 behind the Blue Jays. And those Rays are playing the Cards, the Twins, and then the Yanks. The Blue Jays also about to play those Yankees. It would be sick if the Yankees maybe like chilled out a little bit.
I don't even care. Anyway, all the Yankee losers in the mentions, like, oh, still 11.5. Like, it doesn't.
It's not that. I'm not looking to take over the division. I'm just saying.
The point is to get the postseason. It's like the point of this is to make the postseason. And if you're going to like get all pumped up because you're X amount of games up, who cares? You make the postseason, you're 0-0. I don't give a damn. Get to the playoffs.
I just like being in the mix with these other guys. The Yankees, I'm not concerned about. They had to start this crazy.
I'm sticking on that. Because classic Yankee fans to be all like hoorah about a great, you know, May and June. Like you guys haven't won a World Series.
They've had nothing to celebrate. They've had nothing to celebrate for 13 years.
Like, they should know better. It's been 13
years. Let them have their moment. It's June.
World Series. Joey, I'm just saying, Yankee fans, relax, all right? Yeah, you're 40-15. Who gives a damn? You make it to the postseason, you're 0-0. All those wins go away. It doesn't mean anything, all right? Relax.
I hope you guys are enjoying it out there in the Bronx. I really do. I hope you enjoy it. 13 long years. I hope you enjoy this early summer month of celebrating.
Dominant.
I think you've earned it.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
Insane.
It's crazy that they still like puff their chest out. It's like, who do you think you are? Do you think you're the evil empire?
No, you're just not. Nuts. Well, it's because that's in their DNA, that's in their blood, and they've had to keep it in, Joey.
Yeah.
They've had to keep it in for so many years. So like they're letting it out too early.
they're raised by a generation who does puff their chest out because they could.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're walking around fluffing their feathers. And it's like, you are a duckling. You are not a peacock.
You're a duckling. Exactly.
You're duckling.
Lastly here, I love seeing Poppy throw the eyes emoji on the Red Sox tweet that they've won 6 games in a row. You're an opposing team. You got Poppy, retired Hall of Fame Poppy, throwing the eyes emoji on the Sox tweet. Watch out.
You think Poppy runs his Twitter?
What's up?
You think Poppy runs his Twitter?
I think he does. I really think he does. Like, I'm a big stickler for that. Of like, Tom Brady, I think, has sent like 2 tweets ever. I think David Ortiz 100% runs. I'm not going to say all of his socials, but throwing an eyes emoji on the Red Sox tweet, like, I think Poppy 100% did that from his phone as he's like smoking a cigar in his like Benz. Yeah, I think that's
a lovely image.
But that'll do it for this ITM short. We actually kept it relatively short. Good job by us to not.
It's still longer than we wanted, but yeah.
No, I know, but that just happens. So just wanted to do a state of the Sox, man. I mean, it's been a hell of a run in this last month or so. Got to keep it going, but it's nice to be able to just kind of breathe, you know? It's okay.
Yeah.
They're 2 games over 500. They're in a postseason spot. Let's keep climbing from here. So our next show will be after the Red Sox-Angels series concludes. I mean, there's a chance they get the brooms out. I still had Sox 3 out of 4. I think we both did in this series. So we'll see what happens in games 3 and 4. Mike Trout being out is huge. We'll see if he's missing these games. But until our next show, for Joey Capone, I am Steve Perrault. Go Sox, kid.